Book of Mark, chapter number 8. Mark, the 8th chapter. We began
last Sunday a study of what the Bible has to say about heaven, what the Bible has to say about hell. We're making our way toward an understanding of those matters, but we first are laying out the biblical case for the fact that you do indeed have a life beyond the time you spend in this body of flesh. Many people in our world today have bought into the lie of evolution. The outworking of the evolutionary teaching is the spiritual darkness that leads a man or a woman to see themselves as nothing more than a beast, and sees the death of the physical body as the end of their life and the end of their existence, and that is not so. We established from the Word of God last Sunday that your spirit will return to the God that gave it, your body will return to the dust from which it is made, and then your eternal, everlasting, immortal soul will dwell forever either in the presence of the Lord or separated from God in conscious torment. The Bible says that every one of us is made a spirit and a soul and a body. You will not die the death of a dog. You will not die the death of a cow or a bird. You have an eternal soul given you by an eternal God. And that soul was made by God to enjoy fellowship with Him and enjoy company with Him. The Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was never the intent or will of God that any man should lose his soul in hell, but sadly, many, many, many men and women choose Satan over Jesus Christ and choose Him as their eternal companion. What a sad and dreadful choice that is. This morning we want to consider this Bible fact that your soul is what's at issue with God. Your spirit, that's the part of you that communicates with other men. That's a nice thing to have, but it won't do you much good in eternity. Your body enables you to walk around without scaring everybody too bad. You showed up in somebody's living room without a body and just started talking to them, they might get a little bit spooked. But this body is really not what God's concerned with. In fact, He doesn't have too much to say about the body except don't pay much attention to it. He said, adorn it in such a way as to not make a big deal out of it. He said, exercise it just a little bit, but not too much, lest somebody think you are body crazy. He said, don't worry about what you put in your mouth. You're going to die anyway. Worry about what comes out of your heart. God's preeminently concerned with your soul. There's 1,000 different little movements in the world today that are trying to get you to be concerned with your body. That's right. If they cleaned up all the air and got all the pollution out of the air, you'd still die. They cleaned up all the water and got all the chemicals and all the bug spray out of the water, you'd still die. You're not going to die because of what's in the air you breathe and what's in the foods you eat. You're going to die because the Bible says, we'll read in a moment, the soul that sinneth, it should die. It's sin. The wages of sin is death, not the wages of pollution. Not the wages of additives, not the wages of lack of sleep and lack of medication. The wages of sin is death. And so we have movements aplenty round about to help you fight different things that might hurt your body and cost you your physical life. God said you ought to be concerned with what it cost you your soul, and cost you eternal life. The Bible says in Mark chapter 8, verse number 34, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus said, follow me, but that won't exclude death. Follow me, but that won't help you to avoid dying. Follow me. I went to a cross. Follow me. I gave up the ghost. Follow me. My body was buried in a tomb. Jesus didn't say, follow me and I'll save you from dying. Verse 35, For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. But what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Bodies are cheap. They're not well made. They're fearfully and wonderfully made, but they're not well made. They're not made to stand the test of time. They're not made to withstand the ravages of nature and of sin taking their toll upon this body of human flesh. That not a man here can jump as high as he once did, run as fast as he once did, see as far as he once did, hear as well as he once did, his body just wearing out. Jesus said, if you spend all your time and all your strength and all your energy trying to save this life, you'll lose the one that lasts. And if you go ahead and realize this life is temporary and lay hold on the one that will last, you'll be the better for it. You gained everything this world had to offer and the world itself and lost your soul, wouldn't do you one bit of good. You'd be the loser. Let's pray. Father, please, please save us from this body-conscious society. Father, save us from this temporal society. God, move us into the realm of spiritual understanding. Help us, God, to learn to ponder the souls of men rather than the bodies of men. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn to Ezekiel 18 and Hebrews chapter 10. Ezekiel 18 and Hebrews chapter 10. Your soul is what God is concerned about. It's a given, according to that Mark 8 passage, you're going to lose your physical life in your mortal body. What about that soul? What about the real, eternal, everlasting part of you dwelling down on the inside of that body? The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 18, Ezekiel 18, and verse number 4, Ezekiel 18, 4, behold, all souls are mine. All souls are mine. Now we saw last time that God created every one of us. You're not the outworking of some evolutionary system. You're not the byproduct of human reproduction. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in the womb by God. According to Psalm 139, you are His people and the sheep of His pasture. He's made every one of us according to Psalm 100. Not only that, but Jesus Christ shed His blood for all men. He died that He might be the Savior of all mankind, and He is. God holds every soul in His power and in His jurisdiction. That's what He said. He made your body, and He can take the life from that body anytime He chooses. And having done that, he has the power and the authority and the right to do what He will with your soul. And this is what the God that made your everlasting soul said about it. Ezekiel 18:4, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it, look at that, it shall die. Not the body. Though that's covered. Not the spirit, though that's accounted for. Your soul is in danger of dying. That's far worse than your body dying. Your body dies, they stick your body in a coffin. Your body dies, they donate your body to science. Your body dies, they might stick parts of your body in me one day. Your body dies, they might cremate it and scatter it all over the countryside. That's the end of that body till resurrection day. But where are you gonna be? There's a you inside that earth suit. Come on, all that is your costume. All that is your outward mechanism. You're inside that body. God said your soul can die. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. And verse number 39. Hebrews 10:39. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Of them that believe to the saving of the soul. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, your soul that has sinned and is sentenced for death can be saved. Is your soul saved? Never mind that carnival show where that preacher trying to heal your body so he can get your wallet. How about your soul? Is your soul saved? If you throw away your crutches and get up out of your wheelchair and get your eyesight back and you can hear again and dance across the platform and go home still lost in your sins, you've gained nothing. That body's going to die one way or another. It'll die in a hospital bed or it'll die on a shuffleboard court, but you're going to die. What about that soul? What about that soul? He lived to a good old age. Not good enough. Not old enough. Not long enough. You're going to die. There's some men in that book of Genesis lived several hundred years. I'm not going to argue with you about what you don't think that's literal years. I'm not going to argue with that with you about this morning. Whatever it wasn't long enough. There's a record in that Bible. Adam says Adam lived 930 years and he died. So you buy the miracle cream and the miracle pills and go to sleep under your pyramid facing east and your feet facing west and make sure the moonlight doesn't hit you. You're going to die. I might kick off at 67, you might make it to 97, but that won't be much a million years from now. That won't be any big deal 2, 3, 4, 5 centuries from now. God said, I'm concerned about your soul. If you gain the whole world for your body, but lose your own soul, and your soul dies with its sins upon it, and your soul's never been saved, you're lost. That's what the Bible says. You're lost. You gain the whole world, but you are lost. It's a terrible thing to be. God's made clear statements about this throughout His Word. Turn to Exodus, second book in the Bible. Exodus chapter number 30. The types and offerings of the Old Testament, not only do they point to the Lord Jesus Christ as our final sin bearer and the one who made the ultimate payment for our sin, but they all point to our need. Why any offering if man has no need of offering? Why any sacrifice if man has no need of forgiveness? The Bible says in Exodus 30, now watch, and verse 15, the rich should not give more, and the poor should not give less than half a shekel when they give an offering unto the Lord, watch, to make an atonement for your what? For your souls. Verse 16, and thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. God's not concerned with preserving your physical life in this physical body so you can have more pain, more sorrow, more tears, more heartache, more troubles, more disappointments, more gloomy days. Hey, I don't want that. I don't want another 100 years of this. I don't want another 200 years of please pray for me. Another 200 years of I've got a burden, could you help me bear? I want to be free from all this. I want to get out of this body and away from all that plagues it. But I can't get there unless my soul is saved. God said those offerings, to point you to the need for an atonement for your soul. Look in your Bible in Leviticus. Next book over, Exodus, Leviticus chapter 17. What do I need to make atonement for my soul? Leviticus 17. And verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it, that's the blood. And I have given it, that's flesh. Flesh and blood, both, upon an altar. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement, look, an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the what? For the soul. Hey, if you brought every offering and every sacrifice that God required in every page of His law, it would not keep you alive. Your body would die. The offerings of God, the sacrifices of God, the worship of God, a relationship to God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, are not set forth to preserve your physical life on this earth. They are set forth to point you to the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the offered body of the Lord Jesus Christ, so you can trust Him to the saving of your soul. And it's just such a grievous thing to keep turning on that Christian radio and hearing program after program after program about your body. And turn on that so-called Christian TV and see program after program after program about your body. And walk in that Christian bookstore and see shelf after shelf after shelf full of books about your body. You're gonna die! Then where will you be? Without an atonement, your soul will be lost. Without a blood atonement, your soul will be lost. Why, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Turn your Bible to Micah chapter 6. Book of Micah, chapter number 6. Old Testament book. Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Micah chapter 6. So I need an offering to make atonement for my soul. I need the body and blood of an offering for the atonement of my soul. You know what? It's going to take more than anything I've got. It's going to take more than anything I can buy. It's going to take more than all of us collectively could produce. Take a look. The Bible says in Micah 6 and verse 6, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Now, you're going to have to do that someday. It's appointed unto man wants to die, and after this the judgment, every one of us should give account of himself to God. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. One day you're going to come before the Lord. The Bible says in Philippians 2, you're going to bow your knees, every knee shall bow. So it's not a question of, will I come before the Lord? I will. The question is, how? How, in what manner shall I approach a holy God? In what manner shall I bow down before Him? Watch the verse. Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Hey, you don't have to wait to Hebrews 10 to figure out those Old Testament sacrifices couldn't save your soul. The Holy Spirit said through Micah, if I brought 1,000 animals and a river full of oil, if I brought my own firstborn son and offered him as a sacrifice, that wouldn't make me fit to stand before a holy God. That wouldn't do for my soul in the day when I bow before Him. I need something more than that. I need something greater than that. Where will we find it? Isaiah 53 and 1 Peter 2. I wonder how many weeks in a year without collaboration we find ourselves going to the same verse in the preaching hour that we went to in the Sunday school hour. Happens far too often for God not to have some part in that matter. Isaiah 53 and 1 Peter chapter 2. My soul has sinned. Your soul has sinned. My body is going to die. Your body is going to die. Because of sin, my soul is sentenced to a second death. Eternity in hell, lake of fire. Your soul is sentenced to a second death. Eternity in hell, lake of fire. So I need an atonement for my soul. You need an atonement for your soul. I need a sacrifice for my soul. You need a sacrifice for your soul. I need the body and blood of a sinless sacrifice for my soul. You need the body and blood of a sinless sacrifice for your soul. And all the animals in the world won't do it. And all the oil in the world won't do it. And your own firstborn child won't do it. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, in verse number 1, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Whoever this book is, a chapter is talking about, he wasn't concerned with the body. The outward appearance wasn't important. Whoever this is, he didn't come to be painted so you can hang him on your wall. He came to be hung on a cross. The Bible says in verse 3, he is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now listen to me. Sin will hurt you in your body in the form of disease, pain, wounds, bruises, cuts. But what we're reading about in verse number 4, that's not your body. Your body doesn't grieve. Your body doesn't sorrow. Whoever this is, he came to bear what happens in your soul as the result of the sins of your soul. You understand that? Jesus didn't come to save your body so you wouldn't get sick and you could live a long time before you went to the graveyard. He came to die for your soul, the sin of your soul, the effect of sin in your soul. That's why he came. Bible says, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. Wounds, that's in the body. He was bruised, that's in the body, for our iniquities. I'll show you in just a minute. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Peace? You don't get peace in your body. Where do you get peace? You get it in your soul. He didn't come so you could be free from aches and pains. He came so you could have peace in the depths of your heart. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. That's soul. He was afflicted. That's body. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Now, when the eunuch in Acts 8 was reading this passage, Philip came up beside him, and that eunuch said to that Christian, said, what am I reading about here? And Philip said, the Bible says, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. Now listen, in his body, he took our sins. In his soul, he took the wages of our sins, the consequences of our sins, the outworking of our sins. Keep your faith. Look, don't leave Isaiah 53. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 23. We're talking about Jesus. Who when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Okay? Now, the sins, that's affliction, that's iniquity, that's transgression, the sins he bore in his body. But look at this. That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. That's the inner man, that's the soul. By whose stripes you are healed. Jesus Christ bore your sin in his body. He suffered in a body of flesh because of sin. But he bore the wages and the outworking and the consequence of that sin in his soul. I can show you that. Look at Isaiah 53, verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. That's body. He made his grave with the wicked. That's body. With the rich in his death. That's body. Because he had done no violence. That was in his deceit in his mouth. Now, listen. If Jesus just died, we're still lost. If he took a good beating in his body, if he took nails and thorn crowns and whips in his body, you're still lost. God said in Exodus 30, I need an atonement that reaches to the soul. God said in Leviticus 17, I need a sacrifice reaches to the soul. God said in Micah 6, I need more than flesh. I need more than bodies. I need something that's going to pay for the soul. That animal has no soul, so offering animals can't save your soul. You've got to have a soul offering. And killing some man isn't going to do because his soul's sinful. I got to have somebody show up on this earth who's not from Adam, has a body of flesh, didn't get his blood from Adam, so I can offer that body and that blood and make an atonement not for bodies but for souls. You want to see it? Look at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. There's the body. He hath put him to grief. That's the soul. Your body doesn't grieve. The you inside the body grieves. And God said, I'm going to get your body, son, and I'm going to get your soul. Verse 10, look at it. When thou, that's God the Father, shalt make his, that's God the Son, when thou shalt make his, look, say it, soul, an offering for sin. There's never been one till right now. There was never a soul offering for sin till Calvary. That's why there was never a sin till Calvary that could give your soul everlasting life. The Bible says, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Look, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Hallelujah! He bore my sin in his body on the tree. He bore my griefs and sorrows and the wages of that sin in his soul upon the tree. God said, I see that body, and I see that blood, and I see that atonement, and if anyone will trust that sacrifice, I'll save their soul. Hallelujah. What a Savior. If Muhammad had died for anybody, he couldn't offer his soul for him. If Buddha had died for somebody, he couldn't offer the soul for him. If you gave your body to be burned, you couldn't offer your soul. If you laid down your life for another, you couldn't offer your soul for him. All have sinned and come short of glory of God. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. I got a sinful soul. You got a sinful soul. I need somebody to show up in this world who not only has not sinned in his body of flesh, but who has never sinned in his soul. so that He can save me not from physical death, but from losing my own soul in hell. And any religion in this world, be it Buddhist, be it Catholic, be it Baptist, be it Mohammedan, any religion in this world looks at that sacrifice and says, having once trusted that, you have to pay for something. Is a rejection and a denial of the finished work of God's own Son on the cross. Either Jesus Christ paid for your sin, body and soul, or you pay for them. Take your pick. It can't be both. It can't be Jesus plus rivers of oil, Jesus plus mountains of animals, Jesus plus your firstborn, Jesus plus your good works, before or after. We are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Look in Acts chapter 2. Don't leave this Isaiah 53 just for a minute. Acts chapter 2. They took that body of Jesus down, and the gospel records are so careful. The Bible does not say, the Gospel of John doesn't say they took Jesus down. The Bible says they took the body of Jesus down and laid it in the tomb. When those women came to the tomb that resurrection morning, the angel said, come see where the body, they said, we came to see where the Lord lay. The angel said, come see where the body lay. Nothing in that tomb but a body. Jesus said on that cross, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, and the spirit returned, according to Ecclesiastes 3, returned to the God that gave it. The Bible says, watch this in Acts 2. Acts chapter 2. And verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you've taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Now let's just stop for 1 minute. See if I get you to turn off that phony baloney business on that religious TV. Was Jesus given sight to the blind? Was he loosing deaf ears? Was he cleansing lepers? Was he causing lame men to walk? Was he raising people up out of their graves? Then why in the world is he going to the cross and dying? Why did he just stick around and give everybody good health? Because that's not the issue. He worked those miracles so you could know and believe that He was who He said He was in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies regarding God being manifest in the flesh. He didn't heal people so they could feel good. He didn't heal people so they could live a little longer. He healed people to prove He was who He was, so when He went to the cross and died, they'd believe on Him. If all Jesus wanted was for you to get well, He'd have just kept making everybody well. He wouldn't have gone to the cross and died. I know you want to feel good. I want to feel good. I know you want to be well. I want to be well. And I'm going to be. For a long, 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 long time. But I got to get out of this wreck first. Got to trade it in on a new model. Now look what the Bible says. Verse 25, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for He's on my right hand that I should not be moved. That's out of Psalm 16. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad, moreover also my flesh. Now look, my flesh shall rest in hope. I got hope, even though I'm in this body of flesh. Why? Verse 27, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Who's David speaking of? Verse 25, him. Who's the Him? Jesus Christ who died on the cross. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. That's the body. You see that? Jesus Christ dies on that cross. He bore my sin in His body, and they laid that body in the grave. His spirit went back to God that gave it, and His soul walked right down into hell. Walked right through it. Stepped out on the other side with the keys of death and hell. Kicked that devil, bruised his head, said, I'm the victor now. He offered His soul for your soul. That's why you don't have to lose your own soul. Even though it is an inevitable fact of life, you're going to lose your body. You don't have to lose your soul. When you're all done with the wrinkled cream, regrow this and, you know, this all be gone. It all fall out. Skin's falling off. Face drooping. Before long, my face is going to be all the way down here. I could do like Barbara Walters and just staple it back. I like being able to close my mouth at night. Barbara, stop smiling. I can't. That was so sad. Come on, look. If you kept this thing alive 20 more years and got another pot full of money and built another this and bought another that, all you're doing is prolonging the inevitable. Wages of sin is death. And I can't get free of that in this body. Praise God, I get free of that in this soul. Because God found an offering and a sacrifice upon that altar. It was a body without sin. And it was a soul without sin. And that precious body was offered. And that precious blood was shed. And when Jesus Christ came up out of the lower parts of the earth, He was triumphant over sin and over death and over hell. And the Bible says if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. And that salvation is not salvation to your physical body, but it's believing to the saving of the soul, so you don't have to lose your own soul. Hallelujah. I'm saved. You can't tell it by looking at me. You can't prove I'm saved because of what I drive or what neighborhood I live in or how long it's been since I went to the doctor. You can only tell I'm saved when you see me in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, 1 John 3, there's no visible manifest appearing of the sons of God as long as you're in this body of flesh. It's not about the body of flesh. It's about the soul on the inside. Is your soul saved? Are your children's souls saved? Are your grandchildren's souls saved? When you're all done dressing them and decorating them and buying them toys and prettying them up and taking them here and taking them there, one day they're going to step out into eternity. Is that soul saved? That's the main thing. Is your soul saved? Are your neighbor's souls saved? That's the main thing. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't just offer His body? Aren't you glad He offered His soul? Poured out His soul unto death? Amazing. Took that cup in the garden. The Bible says His sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. The thing's reaching down beyond the body. It's getting down there in the soul. Soul that sinneth, that shall die. What should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But Jesus Christ made His soul an offering for sin. And we are them that believe to the saving of the soul. Is your soul saved? Young man, is your soul saved? Plenty of boys your age stepped out in eternity sooner than they thought they would. Young lady, is your soul saved? Glad you come to Sunday school every week, but is your soul saved? Sir, it doesn't matter how you appear to us. It doesn't matter if you've impressed everybody here with your spirituality. Is your soul saved? You can dress that body up like a Christian. You can make that body move like a Christian. Is your soul saved? We are them. I'm in that company. I just want to cast my lot with them. I believe to the saving of my soul. I'm trusting the one offering of Jesus Christ for the salvation of my eternal soul. And I may not gain this whole world, I may not gain much in it, but I'll not lose my soul. Praise the Lord.